In assignment number one A, we are going to count the number of elements in the set DT, where DT consists of vectors of length T, and the elements of the vectors are minus one or one. And we can prove this by induction, starting with capital T equal to one. So if capital T is equal to one, the set D1 consists only of these two elements, minus one and one, and it's easy to count how many elements this set has. So there are two elements if capital T is equal to one. And then we add, and we assume that we know the number of elements in DK. And we assume that this is equal to 2 to the power k. And this holds if k is equal to 1. So 2 to the power 1 is 2. And now we add one more element on the vector. So we have dk consists of vectors epsilon 1 to epsilon k. And we add epsilon k plus 1. And there are two options for epsilon k plus 1. It can be equal to 1 or minus 1. So there are two options. So there are 2 to the k options for epsilon 1 to epsilon k. And this will be multiplied by 2 because each vector of epsilon 1 to epsilon k gets two more options. So the number of elements in dk plus 1 is 2 times the number of elements in dk. And this will be 2 to the k plus 1. We made the induction assumption that dk has 2 to the k elements. Okay, in B, we consider sets A and B, and A consists of those vectors where the first element is minus 1 and the last one is equal to 1, and the rest can be minus 1 or 1. And B consists of those vectors whose first two elements are minus ones. And the rest of those epsilons can be minus one or one. And firstly, we are supposed to find the complement of B. So this means all those little omegas where one of those first two elements is not minus one. So either the first one is one or the second one is one. And the intersection, so we take those omegas which satisfies both conditions, condition of A and condition of B. So this means that the first two elements need to be minus ones and the last one needs to be one. That's the intersection of A and B. And then the union consists of all those little omegas which are either in A or in B or in both. And so those epsilons which are both in A and B are such that the first element should be minus one. Sorry, those little omegas which are in the union are those for which the first element is minus one and the second element can be anything because in A the second element can be anything and the last element can be anything in the union because in B the last element can be anything. And finally, we should find out the number of elements in this set where epsilon I can have three different values, minus one, zero, or one. And we can use exactly the same procedure as with the case that there were two elements, minus one and one. So if capital T is equal to one, then this set consists of elements minus one, zero, and one, and there are three elements. And if we add new element on the vector, there are three more choices. So exactly like in the A, we get that this is T to the power T. So in assignment number two, FK is the sigma algebra, which is generated by those epsilons where the dependency is only on epsilon one up to epsilon k. So the sets that are elements in FK depend only on epsilon one up to epsilon k and not on the rest of the epsilons. And one can characterize these sets using functions FK of epsilon one to epsilon k, and these FKs would be indicator functions. And we are supposed to show that FK is the smallest sigma algebra, which contains all those sets, which have a condition only on epsilon I, where I is less than or equal to k. So let's first show that these sets are contained in FK. So all these sets are in FK. Let's prove that. And we let A be minus one or one, small a, and consider this set capital A, which consists of those epsilons where epsilon I is equal to small a. So this set A is of the form that we have here. Now we are supposed to prove that this set A is in the sigma algebra FK. So we need to find a function FK, which depends on epsilon one up to epsilon K and is equal to one if epsilon is in A, and equal to zero if epsilon is not in A. So we define FK to be equal to one if epsilon I is equal to A and zero if epsilon I is not equal to A. Okay, so we found a function F and epsilon is in A if and only if epsilon I is equal to A. So this is the definition of the set A. And also epsilon I is equal to A if and only if FK is equal to one. So we found the function FK and this set A is in the sigma algebra FK. And then we need to show that FK is the smallest sigma algebra that contains all these sets of this form. And so let's prove that if we take an element from FK, a set B from FK, then this set B can be expressed by taking a countable number of intersections and unions from these sets. So that would mean that this B is in any sigma algebra that contains these sets. Okay. So if B is in FK, then there is a function FK such that epsilon is in B if and only if FK of epsilon one up to epsilon K is equal to one. And this function FK actually has to be the indicator function of the set BK. So I'm defining a set BK, which consists of those vectors epsilon one up to epsilon K, such that the full vector epsilon one up to epsilon capital T is in B. And because the set is finite, so the DT is a finite set, all the subsets are also finite, so BK has to also be finite set. And we can express it as a finite union of its elements. So these vectors AJ1, AJK, these are just the elements of BK. And AJI is either minus one or one. And now each of these sets that consists only of this one vector, these can be expressed as an intersection. So we take the vectors epsilon one up to epsilon k, where epsilon I is equal to AJI. So epsilon one has to be AJ1, and epsilon two has to be AJ2, and so on. Epsilon k has to be AJK. So the intersection consists only of this one vector. And now this set B that we chose from FK, this consists of those vectors epsilon such that the first k elements, the vector of the first k elements is in BK. And BK we can express as this union of intersections. So so also B can be given by union of intersections. So in B we have all those epsilons such that epsilon I is equal to HAI for all I from 1 to K. And then we take all the possible vectors J. Okay. So and because sigma algebra contains all the countable unions and intersections, and countable intersections are the sigma algebra, and this we can see by De Morgan rules and complement. Okay, so if any sigma algebra contains these sets, it also contains the countable intersections and unions, so it also contains the set B. So if there's a sigma algebra G that contains all these sets, then it also contains the set B from FK, so that means that FK is a sub-sigma algebra of G. So FK is the smallest. So in number three, we want to first show that if MK is a Q martingale, then expectation of MT with respect to the measure Q is equal to M0. And this we get using the tower property. So we start with taking the expectation of MT with respect to Q, but we can plug in under the expectation, the conditional expectation with respect to any sub sigma algebra. And now we use this FT minus one. And because MT is a Q martingale, the conditional expectation of MT with respect to FT minus one is MT minus one. And we can plug in MT minus one there, and then again use the tower property and plug in under the expectation, a conditional expectation. And now we had this MT minus one there, and we plug in the conditional expectation with respect to FT minus two, and we get MT minus two because M was a Q martingale. And we continue like this until we are left with expectation of M0. But M0 is a constant because it's measurable with respect to F0, and F0 was assumed to be the minimal sigma algebra. So M0 is a constant, so expectation of M0 is just M0. And in B, we consider this price process. So this NK could be VT tilde. And M could be the S tilde in the price process. But in this setting, so M is a Q martingale and these random variables AN are assumed to be bounded and predictable. So AN is FN minus one measurable. Okay. So to prove that this process NK is a Q martingale, we need to prove the three properties. And first is that NK is FK measurable. So NK has this term A0, M0, but this is just a constant, so that's FK measurable. And here AN is FN minus one measurable, so it's definitely FK measurable because FN minus one is a sub-sigma algebra of FK. And MN is FN measurable, MN minus one is FN minus one measurable, and these are also sub-sigma algebras of FK. So all the the elements in NK are FK miserable. And this is just a multiplication and summing up FK miserable random variables, and what we get is FK miserable. And the second condition that we need for N is that it's integrable. So the expectation of the absolute value of NK should be finite. And here we can just approximate this from above. A0 and M0 are just real numbers. They are finite. And AN here is bounded. And then we have the difference of MN and MN minus 1. This can be upper bounded by the sum of their absolute values just by triangle inequality. And MN and MN minus 1 are integrable. So their expectation of their absolute values are finite. And finite sum of finite numbers is finite. So NK is integrable. And the third thing is to prove the Martingale equation. And we need to show that the expectation of NK plus 1, the conditional expectation of NK plus 1 with respect to FK is equal to NK. And okay, first of all, NK plus 1 is equal to NK plus this last term in the sum. So NK plus 1 is just NK, and I'm taking one more term on the sum. And conditional expectation is linear, so we can first take the conditional expectation of NK with respect to FK, and then we add the conditional expectation of this other term. NK is FK measurable, so the conditional expectation of NK with respect to FK is equal to NK here. And then AK plus 1 is FK measurable because A is predictable. So we can take out what it's known. Take out AK plus 1. And then we have the conditional expectation of MK plus 1 minus MK. And we can use, again, linearity of the conditional expectation. And we get the conditional expectation of MK plus 1 with respect to FK. And MK is FK measurable. So the conditional expectation of MK is just MK. And because MK is a Q-martingale, the conditional expectation of MK plus 1 with respect to FK is just MK. And we get MK minus MK equal to 0. So this term is 0. And we get that NK is the outcome. So in number 4, we have a market, and now the sigma algebra consists of 4 elements, empty set omega, A and A complement. And now we are supposed to determine the probability of the set A in such a way that the given even share, discounted share price is a martingale. So we want to find a martingale measure for S tilde. And so what we need to show is that the expectation of ST tilde is equal to S0 tilde. And S0 tilde is equal to 12. And ST tilde is just ST divided by 1 plus r. F0 is the minimal sigma algebra, so the conditional expectation is just the expectation. And ST can have the value 20, and it gets the value 20 on the set A, and ST gets the value 5 on the complement of A. And so we take the expectation, and here 1 over 1 plus r is 3 over 4, because r is 1 over 3. And okay, so then we can take the coefficient 20 out of the expectation, and the expectation of the indicator function of A is just the probability of A. And then we take the 5 outside the expectation, and the expectation of the indicator function of A complement is just the probability of A complement, and probability of A complement is 1 minus probability of A. And P is equal to probability of A, so P is Q of A, and we plug in the P in the previous equation, and this should be all equal to 12, and now we can solve P, and P is equal to 11 divided by 15. So there is a unique Martingale measure. And in B, we just compute the expectation of the option, discounted option with respect to this Martingale measure that we just obtained. And if ST is 20, then the positive part of 15 minus 20, that's 0. And if ST is equal to 5, then 15 minus 5 is equal to 10. And this ST is equal to 5 on A complement. So this non-zero part is just 10 divided by 4 over 3. 4 over 3 was this 1 plus R. And we can take the constant outside the expectation of A complement is expectation of the indicator function of A complement is just the probability of A complement. And this is 1 minus P, and that's 4 divided by 15, and we get 2 as the expectation. And in C, we should compute the hedging portfolio and the price P0. So let's start with the hedging portfolio. So at tan capital T, we need that phi 0 times the riskless asset and phi 1 times the risky asset should equal to K minus ST, or the positive part of K minus ST. And K minus ST can be 0 or it can be 10. And it's 0 if ST is equal to 20. And it's 10 if ST is equal to 5. So we plug in those values. And here we can solve phi 0 and phi 1. So phi 0 should be 10 and phi 1 be minus 2 over 3. And P 0 is the value at 0. So we have phi 0 plus phi 1 times S0, and we get that P0 is equal to 2. So P0 matches with the expectation in part B, and the question in D was that is this a coincidence or is there a reason for this? And yes, there is a reason, because K minus ST is the value of the portfolio at time t. So expectation of Vt phi is equal to 2. And on the other hand, this phi 0 plus phi 1 s 0, this is V 0. And in exercise number 3, we actually proved that the expectation of Vt phi is equal to V 0 phi, and that's the reason. In number 5, we want to consider whether the expectation of Sk minus 1 and positive part of Sk minus 1 and positive part of K minus Sk are increasing or decreasing in small k. And let's first consider the first case, the positive part of Sk minus capital K. So this is a function of Sk, and the function is g of x, which is the positive part of x minus k. And this is a convex function. So we can apply Jensen's inequality on the convex function. And so first of all, Sk is the conditional expectation of sk minus 1, like sk plus 1 with respect to fk. So in place of sk, we can just plug in the conditional expectation. And now Jensen's inequality says that for convex functions g, g of the conditional expectation is less than or equal to the conditional expectation of g of the random variable. So here we use the Jensen's inequality for conditional expectation. And first take g of sk plus 1 and then the conditional expectation. And now we plug in expectation both sides. And on the left, we get the expectation of g of sk. And on the right-hand side, we get the expectation of this conditional expectation. But here we use the tower property. So this expectation of the conditional expectation is just the expectation of g of sk plus 1. And there's the inequality. So the expectation of g of sk plus 1 is greater than or equal to the expectation of g of sk. So this is increasing in k. And in the second exercise, in exercise number 4, we prove this Kolput parity, that the difference of these expectations is just the expectation of sk minus capital K. And expectation of sk is just a zero. So what we have here on the right-hand side, this does not depend on small k at all. So this is just a constant, which does not depend on small k. And we know that this, this first expectation is increasing in k. And because the difference is a constant, so it means that also this has to be increasing in k. So they are both increasing in small k. In number 6, we consider the trinomial model where each epsilon k can have the value minus 1, 0, or 1. And our process sk is given by this formula. And we are looking for a martingale measure q such that the probability that epsilon k is 1 is p, and the probability that epsilon k is 0 is q, and then the probability that epsilon k is minus 1 should be 1 minus p minus q, and we denote this by s here. And we are looking for such a martingale measure that this is satisfied and that the epsilons are also independent. And okay, first of all, all the random variables are bounded because omega is finite, so sk tilde is integrable, and we can take the conditional expectation. So we want to show that the conditional expectation of sk tilde with respect to fk minus 1 is equal to sk tilde minus 1. And first of all, we notice that this sk tilde can be written as sk tilde k, sk minus 1 tilde times this e to the power a epsilon k plus b divided by 1 plus r, because in s tilde k we have 1 plus r to the power k in the denominator, and sk tilde k minus 1 we have this 1 plus r to the k minus 1 in the denominator. And so here we have the sum up to epsilon k, and in sk minus 1 tilde we have the sum up to epsilon k minus 1, and what is left is this epsilon k there. And then we have k times b, and in sk minus 1 we have k minus 1 times b, and there's one b left. Now when we take the conditional expectation here, we write this in this form where we have this sk minus one, and this is fk minus one measurable. So we can take out what is known and take this sk minus one tilde out from the conditional expectation. And under the conditional expectation, we just have now this e to the power a times epsilon k plus b divided by 1 plus r. And so we need that this, okay, and epsilon k is independent from fk minus 1 because we assume that these epsilons are independent in the measure q. So that's why epsilon k is independent of fk minus 1. And the conditional expectation is just the expectation because of the independence. Okay. And we need to show that this expectation here is equal to 1 in order this s tilde to be martingale. So we want this to be equal to 1. And epsilon k gets the value minus 1 with probability p, the value 0 with probability q, and the value 1 with probability 1 minus p minus q. So we get an equation for p and q, and we investigate that there are solutions for p and q. And here we have written down this in detail this solution p and q. So we denote these coefficients. So here is this one would be the small a. This one would be B, and this one would be C. We have this equation A times P plus B times Q plus C times S equal to 1, and then we know that P and Q and S must sum up to 1. And then we can solve P and Q as a function of S, and we get bounds for the S. So S will need to lie on this interval, and this is non-empty. This is elementary stuff. One can check that this indeed is a non-empty interval. So there are uncountably many solutions for P and Q. And now this Q is such a measure that all the small omegas have a positive probability, strictly positive probability. So the fundamental theorem of asset pricing says that the market is arbitrage free. And okay, in A we notice that there are uncountably many P's and Q's where this Q is a martingale measure. So there are uncountably many martingale measures for S tilde. And this implies that the market is not complete.